broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And also, of course, it is radio for patriots by patriots. That's just the boots march. You know, people ask, well, what kind of a show do you do, Phil? I don't know, but if you're into regular traditional talk radio, this ain't the place. And I say that with pride, and I say that with great respect, and I say that with understanding. But the last thing we're interested in doing around here is talk radio, because God, does it suck. I just read in All Access, one of the big suits in the business, I won't say who.
He runs Cumulus.
Why don't you shut up, man? But I said I don't say who.
You're not going to say who. Why'd you say? Because.
Because why? Because you want to screw me up?
You get screwed up by that.
Let me be the guy that decides that, huh, bud? You mind? Anyway, some suit said, and when I say suit, I mean that in the worst possible connotation, because you got to understand, as we've often said, you know, just like those guys in the Army you used to hear about who hate officers, well, around here we don't like suits. But anyway, this guy said that the future of political talk is bright, and of course, I immediately wanted to regurgitate, not because I mind talking politics, but just that the way it's done these days on American talk radio is so, it's not even, they're not even talking politics. It's one soapbox after the next. That's all it is. In other words, what did the guy say? He said, are you interested in free speech, even at the expense of truth? I'm not saying get rid of free speech. I love free speech. But do you want to get rid of truth too? So in other words, I want to be free to say what I want to say, even if it's a lie. Yes. And I charge both sides of the political spectrum with this crime, if you want to call it that. It is. I charge both sides, the progressives and the conservatives. Lie, God almighty, they haven't met a lie that they're not willing to give at least one shot to on the air. At least one. See if it'll fly. So we don't have any interest in that on this show. And we'll do anything that we can to avoid it. And some nights we're better than others at doing that. But anyway, welcome back to our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, you can get live streaming video of the show right now. You can take a look at our show blogs and our different news blogs. And you can comment on them. You have exclusive right that backstage pass hold other people who don't have BSPs wouldn't have. You can comment on those. You can also read the Bobby Dooley blog, the Ted Bell blog. You can watch all of the five-day video archive. And you can get access to all of our audio archives that go back literally 15 years, thousands and thousands of hours. I'm not talking about a 30-second clip here, a two-minute clip there, and a little on-demand here, and a little on-demand. No, 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 no. We ain't playing that, man. We have full shows going back 15 years, and it isn't just full shows of crap. It's full shows of some of the greatest radio you're ever going to hear. And we say that with pride, and we say that with, with our tails in the air and our rear ends,
Not dragging on the ground.
Not dragging on the ground, right.
What are you guys dragging? What, you can't wipe your own butt?
Yeah, we're like dogs wiping our ass. What are you talking about? All right, so anyway, that was my fault. Welcome back to the program. A couple of things to talk about in the news. And a couple of things to talk about that may not be in the news, but is just, stuff that we want to talk about. Now, where was the bloody story, man? Well, I guess I put it underneath all the other stuff. Here it is. A couple of things that I thought were interesting. First of all, if you follow the Emmys, Modern Family took home a lot of Emmys, and it's only been on the air for 48 episodes. I guess 48 episodes is quite a few, but it is a beloved sitcom, Modern Family. And at the 63rd Primetime Emmy Awards on Sunday night, the telecast began with four awards in a row to members of the Modern Family team, and it ended the same way with the two-year-old show being named the best comedy on television, ended the same way it did last year. And I mention this only because the co-creator of the show, Steve Levitan, is a very, very productive and he's got a fertile mind. Just Shoot Me was Steve Levitan's show. And he's done a bunch of other TV shows, other TV comedies that have been phenomenal. And this is no less. So congratulations to those guys, Modern Family winning, as well as a few other shows that perhaps you're a favorite of, Mad Men, or you are, that is, your favorite, you're a favorite of.
That would mean that Mad Men likes them.
Maybe Mad Men likes you, and you're a favorite of Mad Men, but you may have Mad Men as one of your favorites. And that was named the best drama for the fourth year in a row, despite stiff competition from a pair of HBO dramas, Boardwalk Empire and Game of Thrones. Clutching his statue, Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men, told the audience, "I did not think that this was going to happen." So that show, and what else? What do you guys like?
I like Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central, was named the Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Series for the ninth time and was singled out for its writing for the seventh time. And The Amazing Race on CBS was named the Outstanding Reality Competition Series for the eighth time. So there you go, man. There was...
Yeah, but the Kennedys didn't win nothing. I thought I would.
Why? You didn't watch that. Who watched that?
Somebody. I didn't, but I thought Greg Kinnear.
Why? You like Greg Kinnear?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you ought to watch the show, and that would also help its chances, you know?
Why would that help? I mean, you don't have to watch the show to want it to win.
No, you don't have to watch the show to want it to win, I guess, but I don't know how you guys can say I really love the Kennedys and you didn't watch it.
Because we like Greg Kinnear.
Okay, well, I guess that's legitimate. You like Greg Kinnear. Anyway, the Best Actor in a Miniseries or Movie Award went to Barry Pepper for the Kennedys. I think that was the only one that they won. So that's the Emmy Awards, and that was last night. And meanwhile, the rest of the world is going on, and one of the things that was happening, speaking of, well, not awards so much, but popularity, Obama's favorability has dipped to its lowest ever, his favorability rating. As concerns about the struggling U.S. economy grew, a new CBS News New York poll finds that President Obama's overall approval rating has dropped to 43%, the lowest so far of his presidency in the CBS News polling. In addition, his disapproval rating has reached an all-time high of 50%. Views of the president's job performance and are marked, rather, by a striking degree of polarization along party lines. The vast majority of Democrats approve, 78%, while even more Republicans disapprove, 89%, of how he's handling his job, but only 37% of independents approve, with 54% disapproving. That's the significant number, so they say. So while it's breaking down along party lines in terms of approval and disapproval, and you're going to find that, among those that are also disapproving are the independent voters, and those are the guys that you want to grab in the election.
You said Obama'd have a hard time.
Well, I mean, I this was not a hard thing to predict. I think I might have been the only guy. When Obama got elected, I was the only guy, I think, that said Obama's going to take more crap from Democrats than he's going to take from Republicans. Now, I don't care about this 79% approval among Democrats. He is taking a passel of crap from Democrats, from the so-called base, his support of the base of his support, progressives, the Pelosis, that ilk. They're real disappointed in him. Because he ain't made the whole thing real progressive, you know? Because Obama is not that much of a party guy that he is, I better get everything on the progressive. He is a guy, you know, you can say what you want. You may not like him. You may think he's a commie. I can tell you this. If there's anybody listening to me that thinks Obama is the problem, you are very naive. Very naive as to what is going on in this country and how we got to where we got to. Very naive. I'm not saying he's the best president we ever had, but if you think that it's just a matter of getting rid of Obama, would you wake up? Because what you're doing is you're making the same mistake that the Democrats made. You're going to be thinking along the same lines the Democrats were thinking in 2008. If we just get rid of George Bush, everything's going to be great. Guess what? Now you got Obama. Now here comes the Republicans following hot on the heels of the Democrats. As if they weren't dumb enough, the Republicans are going to out-dumb them. If we just get rid of Obama, everything's going to be great. This campaign season, I would just ask people to do one thing. Please, please, God, if you don't do anything else, listen to what these guys are talking about. Would you please? Obama shouldn't have come as such a surprise to the Democrats. Because everything that he said, for instance, when it came to bin Laden, this is no surprise. When it came to the Patriot Act, shouldn't have been any surprise. Obama said that I will look at that when we get to it, and, you know, I'm going to be very pragmatic, and that's just the way it's going to be. And everybody was blissed out and blowing up balloons and dancing in circles because Obama got elected, and they forgot that this guy had said some very specific things. What the hell were you doing? Were you paying attention or not? When it came to the oil drilling thing, all of a sudden everybody's in a big daze and they're all shocked. What do you mean oil drilling? He never said anything that he wasn't going to drill during the campaign. Never. Never did he ever say, we're getting rid of oil drilling, that's it, that's the end, it'll never happen again. It'll never happen. He didn't say that. So he wound up pissing off a lot of Democrats, and he, of course, he wasn't conservative enough for Republicans, so everybody hates his guts. But guess what? I got a newsflash for you. When times are bad and the country can't seem to find its way out of those bad times, guess who the unpopular guy in the room is? You got it. So it's nothing new. Nothing new. I'm reading, because I'm a square. And,
No. You're not going to tell us about reading another book about, like, President, whatever, President Millard Fillmore.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to tell you about reading a book about Millard Fillmore. I'm going to tell you about reading a book about William Tecumseh Sherman.
Man.
Well, take it easy. All right, so maybe I won't. But we'll be back with a couple of more historic as well as contemporary notes on the state of our country and the favorability of the president and whether or not this and that and something else will happen. Okay? 877-876-PHIL is our number. Our website is philhenryshow.com. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans. PHANS. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know the song. It's the last song.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. On the line, Margaret Gray from Santa Monica. And you had a musical. I know that, Margaret, you were a singer at one time, and you had a musical question.
I don't have a musical question. Frank brought it up to me. You were singing the song by Mose Allison. Were you not singing it?
No, she wasn't singing. Wait.
Now, Frank says you were playing it.
All right, and we have to let people know, Frank Gray has gender confusion, so when he refers to a man, he will call a man she.
Hold on for a minute, because Frank's going to hear that.
Am I going to hear?
Nothing. Were you singing the song, Your Mind Is On Vacation? Is that what you thought it was?
No.
She wasn't singing. She was playing it.
What?
She was playing Your Mouth's on Vacation.
All right. Were you playing the song Your Mouth's on Vacation?
No, I was playing the song Your Mind Is on Vacation.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem, Frank.
I told you she didn't know what you're doing.
Yeah, Frank told me that you don't know what you're doing. You're playing a song. The name of the song, Phil...
No, wait, what do you mean I don't know what I'm doing? I'm simply playing a song.
Well, but the name of the song is Your Mouth Is On Vacation, Your Mind's Working Overtime, right?
No, it is not. No, it isn't.
What'd
you say? He said that it's,
Hold on for a minute, and don't talk off the air while I'm going to pull this song up. I just played it off the air a moment ago. I'll play it again so people will understand. This is Mose Allison, okay? That's not the song, bud, for God's sake.
What is it?
That's the song by... Play the one... Here it is. This is... That's the Doors.
You're sitting there yakking right.
Yes, this is it
in
here.
In your face, I guess I'm going to have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden,
you would lead a life of crime. Now, here we go. Because your mouse is on vacation.
Hold on, hold on. I can't hear it.
Well, he's getting the words wrong there.
Yeah, what did you say?
He's singing, your mouth, your mind is on vacation, and your mouth is on vacation, too.
Wait a minute. We're getting into the same thing that always happens on this show. I can't get a word in. You guys start talking, blah, 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 blah.
Would you please play the song?
I'm not going to play the song until I make my point.
I'm asking you politely, would you please play the song?
No, I'm not going to.
You don't play that song. By help me God, I'll come down there and I'll make you play it.
Better do what he says.
Hold on, I'm not doing anything. The song is called Your Mind is on Vacation and Your Mouth is Working Overtime because that's the way Mose Allison sings it.
And I'm telling you, he got it wrong.
How do you know?
Because I know who wrote the song.
He does. He knows who wrote it.
Who wrote the song?
It was a man by the name of Bill Crisper, who was a very dear friend.
He's getting emotional because he knew Bill Crisper. She was the one that wrote the song.
Bill Crisper?
Yes.
I never heard of Bill Crisper.
Does that mean that Bill Crisper doesn't exist?
Apparently, he had an affair with her, and...
Who had an affair with who?
Margaret had an affair with Bill Crisper. And then she died.
Bill Crisper died.
Yes.
You know, I can hear you laughing, Phil.
Well, like, why? Of course I'm going to laugh.
What are you laughing at?
I've had very difficult to believe a guy by the name of Bill Crisper.
You know, Phil, maybe God will forgive you, but I won't. You laugh at Bill Crisper. Do you know how Bill Crisper died? Do you want to know how Bill Crisper died? This will give you a big laugh. Are you ready?
No, Margaret, I don't.
No, well, I'm going to tell you anyway. He died in a fire.
Yeah, she died in a fire.
So you want to laugh about Bill Crisper?
I'm sorry to hear that. It's a horrible way to die.
Well, he was dead already. But then they threw him into the fire because of his last name.
They were having a bonfire, and she got drunk and had a heart attack, and they just decided to throw her in.
So he didn't die in the fire?
Well, he might have.
And they threw him in the fire, why?
Because of the last name, Bill Crisper. Crisper. One thing you can say about him, when he died, he was crisp.
What a childish bunch of asses he must have known.
Well, she knew a lot of real childish people, yeah. But, fortunately, she met Margaret, and they had an affair.
Was this before, obviously?
Yes, before I met Frank.
Yeah.
What are you... Oh, my God. Well, no, you're right, Phil. I'm that much of a slut. God!
Take it easy. Henry, what are you calling my wife? He's the finest woman I've ever met.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that about your wife.
The song goes like this, Phil. Do-do-do-do-do. You sitting there yakking, do-do-do-do-do, and la-la-la-la. Now, you know how the song goes. Do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do. Well, if talk was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Because your mouth is on vacation and your mind is way over time. And that's how the song goes. That's the way Bill Crisper wrote it.
Wait, this was what year?
What, are you writing a book? Or...
Get a load of this guy. You writing a book?
You writing a book?
Maybe, I don't know. I...
You know, you're a child. You're a child. You're a child. Remind me of that song by the Buffalo Springfield. I am a child. That's another one for you. Another really old cultural reference for you.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. That really helps with my younger listeners.
Well, oh, my God. You think your mouth is on vacation and your mind works overtime helps?
I didn't play that on the air. I played it during a break.
Do-do-do-do-do. Just listen to me for a minute, Phil, because if you get the rhythm, you'll know. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Because if talk was criminal... You would be leading a life of crime. Your mouth is on your mind is on your mouth.
Your mouth is on her. No.
Yeah, you're right, Frank.
Your mouth is on her vacation, and your mind is working on her overtime.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. What was the point of all of this?
The point of all of it was to teach you a little something about music. Oh, aren't we arrogant? Aren't we arrogant?
No, I just wondered because I don't think we've gotten the title right.
Oh, you don't think, huh? Get a load of him, huh?
Phil Hendry.
You writing a book?
Yeah, you writing a book?
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I wanted to talk to Margaret.
Frank, he's taking right now. He's taking a bath.
Well, the question that I have is very simply this, and I think a lot of my listeners have the same question. What is with the gender confusion?
The gender confusion, Phil, and it's really not anything that I don't think you'd find anyone that would be comfortable talking about this. But because I do like you, Phil, and I do believe in your radio show, I will tell you that Frank, when he was a younger man, contracted syphilis.
Right.
And it went untreated.
It went untreated, so it...
It spread to... corridors, as they call them, areas of his brain. Now, Frank is in his late 70s. He is spry. He's very intelligent. He's a wonderful husband. He obviously is a wonderful provider. He had a very successful law career. He was a very successful television producer. The only thing that is indicative of his condition is this gender confusion. It is a neural pathway that got burned in his brain somehow.
And you've seen no other evidence of any kind of madness?
No, we haven't seen any evidence of madness. We haven't seen any evidence of any Alzheimer's, if you will, or dementia. Here comes Frank.
What are you talking about?
Talking to me, Frank?
Yeah.
Well, Margaret was talking to me about your health.
My health is fine. Let me have the phone, please. My health is fine, young man.
How are you? How you been, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. And we were talking about your health.
My health has never been better. And knock wood, you know. Thank God my kidneys work. I just went to the bathroom. I took I had a nice long day and my bowels work. Thank God. Knock wood. My bowels work. And the other morning, I don't know if I know.
Oh, God, Frank.
I think I can say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it was like a snake. You know?
Okay, Frank. I mean, that's disgusting, okay?
you know what I mean, don't you?
I don't want to talk about that, if you don't mind. I'm glad that physically you're healthy. And in terms of your mind?
Well, what's wrong with my mind? There's nothing wrong with my mind. Nothing wrong with my mind at all. Have you been talking to Margaret? Have you been talking to him?
No, Frank, I haven't.
You've been talking to him. So help me God.
I didn't talk to anybody. You said him. Who are you talking about?
He was referring to me.
So he was talking to me?
Yeah, talking to you. Have you been talking to him?
Yes.
Have you been talking to her?
You mean Phil?
No. Who do you think I mean? Have you been talking to her?
Now, Frank, please don't get angry. Frank, no!
I'm only kidding.
Hey, don't do that, man, okay?
Got you, didn't we?
You know, that's not funny at all. Pretending like he's belting you.
Oh, I swear to God, I bet you were going to have him looking back in the bowl before he pulls the chain.
That's the truth. You really thought I was going to hit him, huh?
Yes, I did, because I've heard you do it before.
Oh, baloney. There's nothing... let me tell you something, because I heard what you did on your program the other day. You never, ever, ever strike a woman. You know that?
Yes.
You know that?
Yes, sir, I do.
You sure you know that?
Yes, I know that.
All right. You never lay your hands on a woman. Never, ever lay your hands on a woman. A man that lays his hands on a woman that way is not a man at all. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we got lost one night in Southgate, and Margaret had given me the wrong directions, and we got off the Harbor Freeway, and we were in Southgate. We were in carjack country because of what he did. Okay?
Yeah.
My wife, he gives me the wrong directions and leads me right straight into carjack country at 11 o'clock at night. Now, I want you to just roll that around in your mind for a while. Just let that sit. Just let that sort of fume up your mind, almost as if it's a big lump that came out of a cow's rear end that's just sitting there, okay?
Yeah.
Stinks, doesn't it?
Yes, it stinks.
Yeah. Well, that's what he did, my wife. See, right here.
Frank, I had no idea.
Oh, no, I understand that. I understand that. He did that. And that's the only time. And all I did was I threw my right hand and I just backhanded him, just went, and it was almost unconscious, Phil.
And so you did hit a woman.
Hold on for a minute now. Hold on for a minute.
So you did hit a woman.
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Well, you did, Frank.
What, are you all of a sudden taking his side? Boy, you got a... I'd swear you had a pair on you if I didn't know better. I was in carjack country.
I know you were in carjack country. You just got done telling me you never hit a woman, right?
Yes.
And you say that you backhanded her.
Because he led us into carjack, because I said, how are we getting home? You know where we live. We go down the 405 freeway, hang a right, we're up Santa Monica, we're home. Now, is that hard? No. But according to him, we have to get off the Harbor Freeway and go into Watts. And so I'm going through, and let me tell you something. The remarkable aspect of all of this was, is I made it through Watts. Alive, in one piece. I was a living, breathing human being when I got through Watts. And then I got into Southgate. Okay? And I still could have gotten on the 710. But instead, he told me to keep going east. Go east when we live in Santa Monica.
I don't know. I know a lot of people that are bad with directions.
Bad with directions? Are you kidding me? He had us going east.
All right, but the point here is what? You backhanded Margaret. Why?
Because I finally said we're getting out of here and we're blowing through every red light until we do, and that's what I started to do. I started to blow through red light after red light after red light until we hit the 605, and Margaret wouldn't shut up. Margaret kept saying, "Oh Frank, oh Frank, oh Frank," and that's when almost autonomically my hand came back. And Margaret, I think you had the tape at one time.
I'm going to give me the phone. I had the tape of it because I wanted to play it on your show, and I wanted to use it on the syndicated Little Bird Told Me. And I don't know whether or not... I've got it right here. Here's an MP3. Do you want me to play it for you?
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. You tape recorded him slapping you?
Well, I was tape recording the entire event, because I thought it would make for a very light and humorous segment, either on your show... Or on the Ken and the Bob, Ken and Bob, or on Ken, or on Bob and on John, Bob and John.
You mean Ken? You mean John and Ken?
Who's Bob and Ken?
There's no Bob, Ken and Bob on KABC. That's a long time ago.
All right. So I tape record. Well, I've got it right here. Hold on. This is us traveling. Where is it?
I got it.
No, Frank, not in the face. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Sounded asinine. What was that?
Asinine? It was him belting me right in the kisser.
You didn't hear the little blah, blah, blah. You didn't hear that part?
Yeah, I heard that. It sounded phony baloney.
Well, you really got some guts, don't you? Calling me a liar, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling you. I think you guys dummied that one up just like you did with that fake slap. Why don't you guys just come on here and talk straight with me, okay?
Well, I'm telling you right now that we did get stuck in Southgate because of him, okay? And I did backhand him.
She just didn't record it.
No, he didn't record it.
I thought I did, but I didn't.
Well, I remember, you guys, I'll tell you something. You think coming on this program, you can just make up all kinds of stuff, and you think that that's entertaining.
Here's the point that I'm trying to make is you never strike a woman.
But you struck her.
Yeah, I did. And I enjoyed it. And that's the only time I ever enjoyed that. I would never enjoy striking a woman unless she put me in mortal danger of losing my life, of having my throat cut. And that time, that's what happened.
You just said she.
Yeah. That's what occasionally he slips into that.
You know what? I don't understand this anymore. I appreciate very much having you guys on the show.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Don't go away pissed.
Okay.
I'm going away. Just, I appreciate having you on the show. Thank you very much. It sounds to me like your gonorrhea is getting better. And
my gonorrhea is getting better? I think you had a little moment there where it's clearing up.
Yeah.
What do you think, gonorrhea is like acne? Because I could...
Thank you.
He should go to a doctor and see whether he's still got that or not.
Yeah.
Because he said, see, that means it cleared up.
Well, one thing that Frank did say that made sense, gonorrhea is not like acne. It don't clear up.
Yeah, but he did say she.
He has moments of lucidity, I guess. I don't know.
Who's that?
What do you mean, who's that?
Lucidity.
That's a word. He has clarity. What do you mean, who's that? Lucidity, as in clarity, as he has moments of clarity. I think both of them got a screw loose, though, if they're telling me, oh, here's Frank hitting me. Oh, I'm just only kidding. Ha, 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 ha. All right, if Obama weren't president, we would be marching on the White House. Now, that was said by a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, a gentleman by the name of Representative Emanuel Cleaver of Missouri.
Beaver Cleaver.
Not Beaver Cleaver. You know, some stuff just, it's not going to make it, man.
That ain't funny at all, man. Beaver Cleaver ain't been funny for years.
Unhappy members of the Congressional Black Caucus probably would be marching on the White House if Obama were not president, according to Congressional Black Caucus Chairman Representative Emanuel Cleaver. If Bill Clinton had been in the White House and had failed to address this problem, we probably would be marching on the White House, Cleaver told the Miami Herald in comments published on Sunday. There is a less volatile reaction in the CBC because nobody wants to do anything that would empower the people who hate the president. CBC members have expressed concern in recent months as the unemployment rate has continued to rise amongst African Americans, pushing for Obama to do more to address the needs of vulnerable communities. We're supportive of the president, but we're getting tired, y'all, Representative Maxine Waters said in August. We want to give Obama every opportunity, but our people are hurting. The unemployment is unconscionable. We don't know what the strategy is. I think we all heard those comments, didn't we?
Yeah, I heard them.
We're getting all pissed off. Why? Because she sounded stupid?
She didn't sound stupider than you, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's...
Just shut up, will you? Okay, you guys aren't running the show. I am. What, are you doing your own talk show here?
He's an idiot.
What are you doing your own talk? Just be quiet and let me talk. I'm the guy that talks, not you.
Yeah, but I was giving an opinion.
It's fine. Then that's the end of your opinion. You don't have to get into a fist fight. All right. Rather than targeting Obama's leadership, many CBC members aimed their fire at the Tea Party movement over the summer's congressional recess. Waters said at a public meeting in her district that the Tea Party can go straight to hell. Another member, Representative Frederica Wilson, called the Tea Party the real enemy, seeking to hold Congress hostage. Representative Alan West, the only Republican member of the Congressional Black Caucus and also a member of the Tea Party Caucus, objected to hostile language used by members targeting the Tea Party movement and threatened to leave the caucus unless Cleaver condemned remarks made by other members. West singled out comments from Representative Andre Carson of Indiana, the CBC's whip, who said that Tea Party-affiliated members of Congress see African Americans as second-class citizens and would be happy to see them hanging from a tree. Cleaver persuaded West to remain a member of the caucus, with West indicating later that one reason he decided to stay was that the CBC membership needed a conservative presence. Well, anybody, and one of the things about the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives is filled with jackasses. The Senate has a lot of them, but the House of Representatives is a place, as has often been pointed out, that's where all of the mental cases reside. Occasionally, one sneaks into the Senate, but for the most part, the guys in the Senate can be, at worst, dull as hell and obstinate. At best, brilliant, brilliant people, brilliant representatives of the people. But in the House of Representatives, at the very worst, you've got some real mental cases, guys that need to be in a straitjacket. You've had fist fights break out in the House of Representatives. People pull guns in the House of Representatives. People pull knives in the House of Representatives. People take walking sticks and beat each other over the head with it.
That was last week.
Exactly. That was just last week. No, a long time ago, but nonetheless. And I don't exactly put they'd like to see them hanging from trees in the pulling a knife category, but it's definitely in the mentally impaired category, because while there's a lot of real radical right-wingers in the Tea Party is about, as best as I can figure, an economic appeal, and has gone out of its way to state that if there's such a thing as an official Tea Party stance, they are not racial in the least. Now, I understand that, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. I get it. But I think barring evidence that Tea Party people are racist. Now, I know there have been signs, but I've seen stupid signs on the progressive side. I've seen things that have been I saw on the liberal side. I saw Condoleezza Rice mocked as Aunt Jemima, mocked as some step and fetch it housemaid. And those were liberals. There's nothing more racist than that. I don't know what it is. Or if there's anything more racist than that, I don't know what it is. You know, liberals don't get a pass on that stuff because you guys are not funny enough. You're not interesting enough. You're not completely in terms of satire, totally grasping the situation as much as you think you are. You know, you guys at your worst, you're just as stupid as conservatives. So, and conservatives, as we all know, can get real stupid. But this guy West, that's this guy Andre Carson, I should say, that's out of line. And Maxine Waters, she's a motor mouth imbecile. She's a loud mouth, and the only way she knows how to discuss is just to browbeat and steamroll people. Now, what's the answer to this problem? The answer to the problem is to have the guts to, if you have a criticism of the president, to criticize him. Have the guts. I understand that there's a lot of people who will say, aha, see, even the Black Caucus, they don't like it. People want to boil it down into racial terms. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to keep them from doing that. If people are that ignorant, there's a lot of stupid people out there. See, I'll give you an example. During the O.J. Simpson trial, white people like to say that there was nothing racial about it. It was simply they were looking at the facts. Well, I would say to them, really? Okay, let's just look at this now. Everybody that thinks O.J. Simpson is guilty is white. Everybody that thinks O.J. Simpson is innocent is black. Now, I'm not saying everybody, but it fell down along racial lines, like 90%, 90%, 80%, 80%, something like that. So if it's not racial, like you say, yeah, then what are all those black? Are they just dumb? They just are. And then they started to let leak out what they never thought they would let leak out. Then came the real racism. Well, they don't understand. Really? Well, they are prone to think as, oh, really? So all of a sudden, all of these whites that believed O.J. was guilty saying, oh, no, there's nothing racial about it at all. We just have a, well, what do you have? What do you have over all those blacks that think he's guilty? Well, and suddenly all kinds of racism started pouring out, and they couldn't stop it from pouring out, and they kept getting angrier and angrier the more I pointed it out to them. I'd say, so you understand it better than the black folks do. Well, and what makes you understand it better than them? Well, I just think that, well, educationally, you see. So because you have more education, you're smarter? No, I didn't say smarter. I was just, so white people understand things better than black people. Is that it? No, they don't. What they don't understand is what they don't understand. All right, so now we have the Tea Party situation. No, we're not racial at all, man. Hey, do we have to break, Dan? Because I completely spaced, man. We do? Okay. All right, well then, good. Then.
So finally you're going to shut up.
Yes, finally I will shut up. All right, we'll be right back with probably about 2 minutes left in the show. I'm sorry, I apologize, guys. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, shut up.
I heard you already.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And please join us on our website, philhenryshow.com. Shortly after the show, we'll have our show log up. And if you missed the show, you'll know what happened. And what happened was Jay Santos happened. And I forget who else was with us, bud.
Hey, well, look at the notes.
I never remember. You guys could keep better notes. I never remember. We had Jay Santos and we had somebody else. But I forget.
How come you space out on that, man?
I don't know what it is, but people will ask me, what you do on the show? And I said, I don't know. People will ask me, what you do on the show tonight? It'll be 3 minutes after the show. And I said, I have no idea. I know we just had Jay Santos on. I have no freaking idea who we had on before him. I think, it was Brass Villanuevas.
Yeah, Brass, he was talking about how the Oakland Raiders need money, otherwise Mexicans don't have a team to watch.
What are you laughing at, man?
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. The Oakland Raiders need money, otherwise Mexicans don't have a team to watch. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, Chris Johnson, and yours truly, Phil Hendry. And of course, we emanate from El Pacifico each and every night, 10 to 1. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's where you can hear live, where you can actually watch a live video cast of the show, as well as get all of our archives, our news feed, our rants, all of our podcasts. Everything is there for you, philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys tonight on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.